You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves fan site on the Fansided Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. We've made it to the weekend. Today is another packed show with draft rankings. Big Board 3.0 will continue. A couple of quick notes, both league-wide and Timberwolves-specific here off the top that we'll cover. And then get into numbers 14, 15, and 16 on the Big Board. And we will, I guess, on Monday's show, we'll get to 17, which of course would be the pick that the Timberwolves do have. We are in the midst of the Locked On NBA mock draft, where we're actually doing this across many emails and spending a lot of time on this. And then we'll have several shows coming up starting next week, revealing our selections and who goes where. And if there's any trades going down, I will say I'm still in trade talks for one of the Timberwolves first round picks right now. So we'll see how that all shakes out, and we'll have that for you here in the next week to 10 days or so. All right. Before we get to the Big Board though, as always, a quick reminder to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. Without further ado, let's get into this. The NBA did announce, or I guess not officially announce, but it's out there now that the NBA is going to start on December 22nd. This is not 100% confirmed, but it apparently was voted on Thursday by the NBA Players Association, the NBPA, I should say. And they voted in favor of a 72-game season starting on December 22nd. Obviously, that does give the league Christmas Day, which is a huge revenue generator for them, for their sponsors, especially their TV partners. And the estimate that has been floating around is that it's somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion in revenue by starting pre-Christmas instead of middle of January. We don't yet know what sort of capacities are going to be allowed. It sounds like owners are hoping that they can get something like 10-20% capacity in arenas for the start of the season. And then from there, perhaps scale that up if things go well. We don't know for sure. And again, it's not official. This is approved by the NBPA, and there's some additional logistics that need to get negotiated. But I mean, the crazy thing is that's like, I don't know, just a little over 6 weeks from now. And the draft is still a week and a half away. And then you've got free agency, and training camp's going to have to start by December 1st. And that's less than a month from now. So everything's going to happen just insanely fast. We're going to be extremely busy on the podcast. We'll have plenty of content over the next few weeks. And so there's a lot to look forward to. And especially for Wolves fans, you haven't seen their team play now since early March. And that's what, almost 9 months, or I guess 8 months, which, it feels like you could tell me a year, and that would seem about right. All right. The other piece of news, just to mention, and this isn't, I guess, as much news as it is an interesting listen, but Doogie Wolfson, again, Darren Wolfson over at Score North and KSDP in the Twin Cities, does a great job. His weekly scoop podcast this week had Fran Fraschilla on, among others. And Fran Fraschilla, of course, the outstanding draft analyst, international draft prospect specialist or expert, I guess, for ESPN. He was on the show before he even got to Fraschilla. Wolfson kind of listed off some of the players the Wolves have met with either virtually or in person. Not really any major surprises. The Wolves have apparently met virtually with Killian Hayes. They still, of course, have not met with James Wiseman, who's not interested in meeting with them. They've met, it sounds like, in person with Tyrese Haliburton in addition to LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards. They'd like to meet with Obi Toppin, so I guess that would be five or six of their in-person visits. We don't really know beyond that. If there's anybody else they're looking at. Perhaps they won't use all 10. Perhaps they don't want to tip their hand if there's anybody they're looking at in a trade back scenario or around the number 17 pick. But that's notable. So be sure to check that out if you want some of that. And then Fraschilla's analysis on the Wolves situation, which is always interesting. Nothing super groundbreaking other than he tends to agree that the Wolves should try and trade back and that there's plenty of talent in this draft. It is, again, a deep draft. It's just not very, very top heavy. All right, so let's go ahead and get back into the Big Board. I'll quickly rattle off the top 13, and then we'll do number 14 here right away. So number one on the Big Board, LaMelo Ball. I have Killian Hayes 2. Anthony Edwards is 3rd on Big Board 3.0. Tyrese Haliburton at 4. Devin Vassell, Florida State at 5. Dayton Zobi Toppin at 6. Patrick Williams, who of course was teammates with Vassell at Florida State, at 7. Sadiq Bey at number 8. Isaac Okoro at 9. Onyeka Okongwu at 10. James Wiseman at 11. Aaron Nesmith at 12. And Kyra Lewis Jr. of Alabama at 13. A reminder, if you hadn't heard previous episodes, this is a big board from the Wolves' perspective. No, I don't think James Wiseman is the 11th best player in the draft. I do think, however, there's at least 10 guys who are better fits for the Wolves than James Wiseman, where the talent plus fit outweighs drafting Wiseman. One of the things Frischilla talked about on Wolfson's podcast is that he could see the argument for drafting Wiseman, even if you're the Wolves. He actually cited Sam Mitchell, who's been a colleague of Frischilla's, and you know, is also involved in Team USA and international basketball a little bit. But Mitchell said that he thinks the Wolves should take Wiseman because he thinks he could be David Robinson, basically. That was essentially what it was, not verbatim, but he brings up David Robinson and the Wolves can't pass on. Obviously, the Spurs drafted Tim Duncan when they had David Robinson. Then again, the game was a lot different 20 plus years ago, 25 years ago. Of course, things are cyclical, and Frischilla mentions that things are going to swing back towards teams wanting these big men. Right now, everybody wants a versatile big man like Bam Adebayo, or in this draft, Onyeka Okongwu. But the Wolves have the league's best offensive big man and a versatile big man in his own right in Karl-Anthony Towns. And I don't think that Wiseman is head and shoulders above anyone else to the point where you draft him and you figure it out. I don't think it's quite that clear. Whereas, for instance, why I have LaMelo Ball first, I think that the overlap between D'Angelo Russell and LaMelo Ball is much more palatable in 2020 and beyond, 2021 and beyond, than having both Wiseman and Towns on the same roster. So that's why I have Wiseman at 11 and Ball at 1. And also having Onyeka Okongwu down at 10 when realistically, I mean, I think he's probably a top 5 or 6 talent, maybe 6 or 7 talent in this draft, but I just don't think he's a great fit with the Wolves. All right. So now I promise without further ado, number 14 on my list, Denis Avdija, who's been playing at Maccabi Tel Aviv and is currently over in Israel. He is in a lot of folks, pretty much everyone's top 10 and a lot of folks top 5. I've seen him mocked as high as 2 to Golden State more frequently. I guess 4th to the Bulls is kind of the highest consistent place I've seen him in mock drafts, but I have him down at 14. It's interesting. He's somebody who actually, I mentioned Darren Wolfson a couple of times. He likes for the Wolves early in the draft. A lot of people think he could fit with the Wolves because he's a versatile guy who can play the 4, maybe play some 3, guard a couple different positions, be versatile offensively. And I just have too many issues with his lack of efficiency, sloppiness, lack of lateral quickness. So his pluses, I guess, we'll start there, is he is a really good passer. He's got good court vision. He clearly has the size and skill combination to be a point forward of sorts and to play multiple offensive positions, potentially guard multiple positions with his size and, again, intelligence, understanding of the game. He's a good team defender. He really is. He understands where to be and when, and those are all strengths of his. Offensively, he is a good passer. He's got post moves. There's a lot of comparisons, and I hesitate to make this because it sounds a little bit lazy comparing him to another European big man who recently played for the Timberwolves. But there's a lot of similarities between Avdija and Dario Saric, the former Timberwolves big who was traded to Phoenix last offseason. Saric was a better shooter. Avdija is maybe a little bit better down low, maybe a little bit of a better creator, but Saric was kind of billed as a a playmaker, you know, a creator on offense when he came into the draft. And that ended up not really being the case at the NBA level, at least not yet. I mean, he's still like in his mid-20s, so that could change. But I think Avdija is maybe a little bit of a more attractive prospect from the sense that he can be a playmaker and legitimately probably could be a secondary playmaker, kind of run a point forward of sorts for an NBA team. However, he's not big or strong enough to guard bigs one-on-one in the NBA. I don't think he's quick enough laterally to truly guard, you know, some of the more athletic threes. And you know, he's not going to guard twos, but I don't think it would be a good situation for him to be switched onto twos at the NBA level. And offensively, he's not a consistent enough shooter. He was sub 30% overseas, and he's streaky. Certainly that can develop, but I just don't see that translating quick enough to make it worthwhile at the NBA level with a high draft pick. Yes, if it all comes together for him, then he could be an all-star. I mean, that's the ceiling certainly for Avdija. I think that the things that he's good at that aren't easily taught, like the court vision, the passing ability, the IQ on both ends of the floor, team defense, the ability to be a strong team defender, size, those things all matter. But the sloppiness with the ball, the lack of lateral quickness, the shooting concerns, all those things kind of combined for me to have him slide down my board, because I just worry that he's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none. And a couple of those things he's not even great at, like shooting, which I think a lot of people think can be developed, and they think he could ultimately be a good shooter. But I have my doubts about that. So that's why he is where he is on my big board and not any higher. But you know, that said, he's obviously a good prospect, and there's a lot of teams that like him, and it would not surprise me if he went in the top five or six in this year's draft. All right, before we get to number 15 on the big board, let's talk about our friends at Built Go. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, and it's not just a workout gel. It's a gel that can help break you through any mental or physical wall. You can break through it with Built Go every single day. If it's simply work, plus picking up the kids, dropping the kids off, getting them to sports, coaching your kids' sports, your workout. If you got to play 18 holes and you're going to have a long day ahead of you, it's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages, throw it in your bag, your backpack, your golf bag, your pocket, whatever you got to do. It's like 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. It's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a Monster, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Built Go is loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, vitamin B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. It's also got vitamin B6, vitamin B12, 10,000% of your daily percentage of vitamin B12. Visit BuiltGo.com, use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. All right, number 15 on the big board, I'm excited about somebody who's been rising on my board. I don't even think I had him ranked the first time around, as I was frankly still going through all my research at the time. But Josh Green of Arizona, rising from 19, not ranked the first time, 19 to big board on big board 2.0, up to 15 on big board 3.0. Josh Green is really the prototypical 3 and D wing. And he's somebody that's got some upside. He can kind of step in and do it all right away. Everything the Wolves would need out of this player. We're not looking at a guy who's going to be a star. He wouldn't be a starter immediately. He's not going to be the third star on this team, but he's basically a plug and play athletic wing who can defend and be a really good above average shooter. In fact, there's a ton of similarities between Josh Green and Josh Okogie, except for he's a really good shooter. Josh Okogie's not. That's it. I mean, that's the easiest way to describe him. He's really solid defensively. He can guard, will mostly guard twos and threes, but I think we'll be able to guard fours. He's 6'6 with a almost 6'11 wingspan, 6'10 and a half wingspan, and he's really athletic. He will guard threes and fours, or twos and threes. He can switch onto ones and fours, I think, pretty easily. And also similar to Okogie, he's very, very good in transition. Athletic, understands spacing when he's in the open floor, can handle enough to be effective in transition. The handle's a little bit of an issue for him, as it is for Okogie. Also similar to Josh Okogie, he's a good cutter. I think he's actually probably going to be a better cutter than Josh. Well, they're both named Josh. Better than Josh Okogie, the incumbent Josh, if you will. From day one, I think Josh Green can be an effective cutter at the NBA level. And this is exactly the type of player that Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders are looking for to fill out their wing spots. I mean, there's nobody else on the roster that has that true 3-and-D skill set and athleticism. Jared Culver can't shoot threes. Josh Okogie can't shoot threes. Keelan Martin hasn't shown he can shoot threes at the NBA level, and hasn't shown he can be a consistent defender at the NBA level either. In theory, he can do both, but there's some other limitations on his game athletically, et cetera, that aren't, there's a reason why he was an undrafted player. Josh Green is going to be a first rounder, and in my opinion, should be a serious candidate at number 17 for the Wolves, assuming he's still on the board. Other wings on the Wolves, Jalen Noel, there's some of those same characteristics that he brings to the table. I don't think he profiles as good of a defender or even as athletic as Josh Green. Jake Lehman is probably more of a four than a three and isn't as consistent of a shooter as I think Josh Green will be. I think Green will be able to do a few more things than Lehman at the NBA level, but there's actually some similarities between the skill set that Green brings and the skill set that Lehman possesses. I just think that Green might have a little bit more of an upside and might be a little bit better defensively. Lehman's kind of an averagey defender who's big enough and athletic enough to guard multiple positions. I think Green will legitimately be a plus defender on twos and threes, and better than Lehman on ones and fours, in my opinion. So I really, really like Josh Green. And I think there's a solid chance he's available at 17. And if he is, the Timberwolves should jump on that chance. He probably wouldn't start from day one, especially with, if Malik Beasley comes back, if the Wolves try and give Culver or Okogie a chance to start again, if they acquire anybody in free agency or a trade. But Josh Green would be a rotation player immediately, and I think will be better as a rookie than Jarrett Culver will be as a sophomore, or certainly better than he was as a rookie. Very different players, to be clear. Culver's somebody who needs the ball in his hands. He's supposed to be a secondary playmaker, supposed to be somebody who can get to the basket. Josh Green's weaknesses are he's not going to successfully get to the basket, and when he gets there, he actually doesn't finish great in the half court, at least. He's pretty good in transition at finishing at the rim because he's athletic and long, and he can be a little bit crafty with the ball. But in the half court, he's not outstanding at finishing at the rim. It was a little bit under 40%, I think, was his mark at the rim, which is obviously not good at all. However, in terms of spot up shooting, he made 36% of his three-point attempts last year. He was in the 77th percentile on spot-ups in college basketball on spot-up three-pointers, and is going to be an above-average catch-and-shoot player. His form actually looks a little bit like Klay Thompson. He kind of spreads his feet out. It's a little bit, there's a little bit of a hitch to it, but it's balanced, it's consistent, and he's simply a good shooter. And I think that he will be a great fit for the Timberwolves if they go ahead and take him at 17. So put me down in the Josh Green fan club, put me down as somebody who thinks the Wolves should target him and do what they can to acquire him. He's probably my favorite player that I'm profiling here in this middle portion of the big board. And I don't think he's going to go as high as like low teens, for instance. I do think there's a good shot he's out the board at 17. And if not, if I'm the Wolves, I'd seriously consider throwing in 33 or something to trade up a couple spots to get him. I like him that much. And I do think he's just a fantastic fit for what the Wolves need. All right, next up, let's talk number 16 on the big board. All right, number 16 on the big board is Alexei Pokusevski, who is a legit 7-footer from Serbia and really kind of a fun prospect. I know I just said Josh Green is my favorite prospect in this range of the draft, but it's fun to think about what Alexei Pokusevski could be moving forward. He's a legit 7 feet tall, and he is a creative playmaker. He's probably one of the top 10 playmakers in this entire draft, if not top 5 to 7. He can shoot a little bit. He can certainly handle the ball. He can definitely pass. Really, it's a combination of, at this point, I haven't been able to see enough of him to get a full read on him. And that's part of the issue with, I think, a lot of the teams, especially this year, that haven't been able to travel and see him in person. And also, he's unbelievably thin. I know a lot of times that's kind of a knock on prospects from Europe or younger prospects here in the US, but I mean, if you haven't watched his tape or his highlights, go do that. I mean, it's shocking how thin he is. And that's a real concern, both from a durability standpoint and then also defensively and finishing through contact at the rim. It's a real concern. But if he was a little bit thicker, or I guess that's really kind of the only thing. I mean, he's got certainly some turnover issues, and he's not consistent with his 3-point shot, but he can really do everything else. And the fluidity that he does it at his size makes him a really attractive prospect in this range in the draft. I'm not saying he's going to be Giannis, because I don't think he'll be Giannis. Giannis was, I think, the 13th or 14th pick in his draft. But it's that type of a thing where there's this mystique about Giannis, and everybody called him the Greek freak, and nobody knew how to say Antetokounmpo, and it was just, there's just this grainy tape that most of us were watching on standard definition TVs probably at the time. And nobody knew what was going on with Giannis. Could he really be, you know, the Wolves passed on him twice, famously, and a bunch of other teams passed on him, and Milwaukee took him. And now look, I don't think it's likely. It's certainly not likely that Pokusevski, or Poku as a lot of guys call him, is going to be Giannis. However, that is the type of upside that he has. And it's a roll of the dice, and maybe there's a 3% chance he becomes Giannis. I'm just throwing that number out there. But he also, I mean, I think his floor is fairly high too. As long as he can add a little bit of strength, a little bit of muscle to his frame, I mean, put him on he's not going to play center in the NBA. Even if he gains some weight and some strength and some muscle, he's going to play the three probably. Realistically, he's like a 2 or 3 guard in a 7-footer's body. And as long as he can stay healthy and be strong enough to guard NBA players, then, I mean, why not take a flyer in the late teens into the 20s in this year's NBA draft? Now, the reason I have him here for the Wolves is because, I mean, they're in a position where they could take a swing at a guy and maybe they keep him overseas. That's probably the likely scenario, is he stays overseas for a year or two. Maybe he's the backup plan if you end up having to trade Towns in a couple of years. Because I mean, if he develops the way that he can develop, then Poku could be somebody you could try and build around if he continues to get stronger and you know, continue to improve his game. So the Wolves could take him at 17 and stash him overseas. He's not my favorite pick for them at 17, but if he's there and some of the guys above him that I have on my big board are gone, then I would look long and hard at drafting Poku, especially depending on what they do with their first pick. I mean, how many rookies do you want on the roster if they're going to end up keeping 33? And if they can't trade this pick for a 2021 first rounder, which is what they would certainly like to do, then take a flyer on Poku. Get him some NBA training, trainers that work with him, some nutrition coaches, get him to put on a little bit of weight, a little bit of strength and muscle, and see what happens in the next couple of years. I mean, there's really not a ton of downside at this point in the draft. The other thing you're looking at is, I mean, like Josh Green, who we just talked about, he's a 3-and-D player with the ceiling of probably a really good starter. And his floor is probably a rotation player. Poku's floor is maybe rotation player, maybe not. His ceiling is superstar. It really is. And so at this point in the draft, it can be worth taking a swing. If the Wolves don't do it, I could see a team like Dallas doing it at 18 and stashing him overseas. You could see a team like, you know, he's probably not a Brooklyn or Miami pick. This is the type of thing Denver would do at 22. I understand they're trying to win now, but any rookie they draft at 22 isn't likely to be a rotation player. Denver could take him and stash him overseas. I could see them doing that. There's lots of Oklahoma City would certainly do that. So if the Wolves don't take him, somebody's going to take him in the next few picks at one of these more savvy organizations or organizations that have a history of drafting and developing international talent. And he's going to make a big difference for someone at some point in the relatively near future. And that's why he's 16 on my big board. And I think the Wolves should take a long, hard look at him if he's still there when they're on the clock at 17, assuming they don't trade out of that pick. All right, that's all we have for you on the show today. We'll take a break for the weekend, be back on Monday. And next week will also be kind of middle of the week, probably the Locked On NBA draft, the first episode, the mock draft, will be going live with our selection, of course, number one in the draft. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back on Monday talking more big board, any news from the weekend on the league, on the Timberwolves, all that stuff. We'll be back on Monday for you here on Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you like to get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, if you listen on iTunes, please go ahead and help us out with a review. Definitely helps us get in front of more eyes and ears. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.